Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact you by bringing awareness to people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. So I heard a young woman say to me recently, there's just no good jobs out there. Now, this is from a talented, outgoing, college-educated young woman, right? And I thought to myself, I beg to differ. Stats show otherwise. U.S. employment increased a little over 6.5% over this past decade, from just over 150 million jobs in 2014 to just over 160 million jobs in 2024. Now, that might lead you to ask then, are there specific careers that are more employable than others? Well, overall employment of health science occupations is projected to grow much faster than the average for all occupations from 2022 to 2032. About 1.8 million openings are projected each year on average due to employment growth and the need to replace workers who leave the occupation permanently. So it makes sense to me that we prepare our up-and-coming workforce in areas where there is the most opportunity. And I think my first guest is going to agree. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Anthony McHenry from the Milwaukee Academy of Science, whose goal is to fill a need in the community to address the significant gap in minority achievement in the health sciences field. Happy to have you here today, Dr. McHenry.
Jill, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Nice to have you. So the Milwaukee Academy of Science is a charter school, but before we dive in, can you explain what specifically a charter school is and what are the advantages and disadvantages?
Absolutely. I think the best way to start is to kind of highlight the fact that it is a public school. It's a public charter school that's independent from the larger school district in whatever city that the school is located. And so we have the same accountable measures and DPI reporting requirements as, in our case, Milwaukee Public Schools. And the same is true across the state. We all get the same school report cards. We have to respond to the same assessments. All of those things are true of public charter schools. We have the same enrollment requirements that traditional public schools have. What's different for the charter schools is that we are not burdened by the same kind of policies and procedures that define how we can go about educating our scholars. So as an example, whatever the larger school district's curriculums have been selected by their district leadership, we as a school do not have to use that curriculum. We have the ability to find the curriculums, the programs, the activities that's going to best support our scholars and their families. The other thing that's really important for our guests to understand is that charter schools should be partnering with the public school district so that we can provide, so we can be innovative and create opportunities for our kids in our particular case to be excellent in science and math when traditionally and historically low-income African-American children do poorly in that. And when it works well, we will partner with the larger school district to make sure that they're learning from the things that we're doing so that they can implement them in their schools as well. And so one of the biggest advantage for us is that we are innovative, that we have the opportunity to be unique in our ability to serve and support our young people. And certainly the disadvantage that I would have to highlight is that our funding mechanism, although it starts at the same place at the state level, by the time it makes it to the school, it's about $3,500 less per student for a school our size that equates to over $4.5 million we don't have annually to serve our kids.
Wow. Well, so is that why MAS or Milwaukee Academy of Science started?
Well, we started because our founder, T. Michael Bolger, who was the president of the Medical College of Wisconsin, noticed that of the thousands of matriculates coming into his organization every year, less than 1% were minority from the city of Milwaukee. And so he decided that he wanted to do something about it. He had a conversation with then Mayor John Norquist about how do we create schools where kids will have an interest in the sciences, in particular the health sciences. And so at the conclusion of that conversation, he decided to do something about it by creating his own school. And so he birthed Milwaukee Academy of Science with the goal of, most importantly, having low-income children, minority children, have a love of the sciences.
Okay. Well, so why then is it a K-4 through 12th grade school rather than a school that specializes at a specific level?
Yeah, that's a great question. The thing that is true of Milwaukee Academy of Science is that we're achieving tremendous academic outcomes and having young people go on to do tremendous things both in post-secondary and in the career. I personally don't believe that was true if we was just an elementary or just a high school. Unfortunately, if you live in the city of Milwaukee, you're going to have a difficult time trying to find a public school that's strong at elementary and then having the task of then finding a strong middle school. Mm. And it's nearly impossible to find a really strong public high school. So in order to inspire young people at the younger grades to be the health professionals and then also make sure that they have the academic rigor to pursue their dreams, you really need to have a program that is K-4 through 12th grade.
And so what would you say then are your most pressing challenges then?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that we're wrestling with right now is what I call this really toxic mix of the pandemic and poverty. We all know that all children suffered through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. There was a tremendous learning loss across the board, regardless of your socioeconomic status. But when you mix that with poverty, the results have been even more devastating across the city. And so we are a school that is currently serving 1,400 kids, but 97% of those kids are living in poverty. Mm. And so the impact on those children and families has been tremendous. And we're feeling it both in terms of kind of their social behaviors. I've often said that the kids came back sadder, more depressed and angrier than they were prior to that year of virtual experience. Our kids came back much further behind than they were. In fact, in some grade levels, 60% of our kids were at the below basic level. And maybe even the most difficult challenge we're continuing to face right now is that the attendance rate that used to hover around 93 or 94% has now dropped down to the mid 80s. Now we've bounced back with our younger children to the upper 80s, but it's still been pretty persistent with our teenagers. And so that is maybe our most pressing challenge is how do we get our kids back to school on a regular basis so that they can learn and reach their potential.
Okay, so I agree with you about the pressing challenges. I think that runs the gamut in terms of in the workforce as well. You know, employers are having that issue as well, just trying to get people back where they belong, whether that's in school or whether that's in the brick and mortar buildings. But what would you say then are some of your more impressive outcomes? Because we like to talk about POP or proof of performance, and sometimes that's in stories of impact. What would you say are some of your most impressive outcomes then?
Yeah, I think the thing that is most impressive, and I think your audience would have an appreciation for this, is when you think about 97% of your families living in poverty, you'd be wise to assume that the children are not having the academic outcomes and are not graduating at the rate that they would that their middle school peers, middle income peers are. Well, that's just not true at Milwaukee Academy of Science. I'm proud to say that over the past 8 years, even during the pandemic, our four-year cohort graduation rate has been between 90 and 94%.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah. And that's what
impressive,
you're gonna see
yeah.
in many of the suburban schools. And when you compare us to like schools in the city of Milwaukee, the graduation rate of low-income black children in the city, unfortunately, is below 60%. And so this is, you know, to your point, like proof of the work that we're doing is in the graduation rate. It's in our 8 consecutive years where 100% of our seniors have been accepted into post-secondary education. And the fact that we have a young lady, Rihanna Taylor, who's now at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We actually have two of our recent graduates now working at Google, and on and
wow,
on and on. Young
very
people
nice.
Who are not only overcoming the odds, but doing tremendous, tremendous things in the community.
That's wonderful. Well, okay, so those are the students. What about the teachers? I read a stat recently that said an estimated 36,000 to 52,000 teacher positions remain unfilled. So how are you addressing that challenge, the national teacher shortage?
Yeah, it is a tremendous, tremendous challenge nationally. It's something that as a country we have to get right and figure out how do we ensure that people want to be teachers and that they remain teachers. We're pretty fortunate in that we've had successes that has allowed us to, most importantly, retain our top teachers. Like that's the key to having a strong teaching force is when you have good ones, you have to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been really strategic about doing that in terms of creating a staff wellness program to ensure that we're supporting our teachers not only in their academic pursuits, but also in terms of their mental health and their emotional health, in terms of their physical health. And also we're now doing programs also to support them financially so that they can make better decisions with their financial resources.
Wow, very nice.
So that's a piece of it. And then we're wise enough now that we actually have an individual, Ms. Berry, whose sole responsibility is to recruit and develop a pipeline for our own teachers, both paras who we want to transition into becoming teachers. But also I'm excited to say that we have a program now where we're creating a pipeline for our own students to become teachers at Milwaukee Academy of Science.
Have it come full circle.
That's absolutely it.
Makes total sense.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we got some really good information on Milwaukee Academy of Science in terms of who they are and what they're doing at the present time. But what about the future? What does that look like for MAS or Milwaukee Academy of Science? Stay tuned to find out after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Dr. Anthony McHenry from the Milwaukee Academy of Science. So let's talk about the future and what that looks like for the Milwaukee Academy of Science. First of all, what does a successful graduate look like?
Yeah, I would say to start, a successful graduate at Milwaukee Academy of Science is first and foremost both happy and healthy. And that's important when you're growing up in environments where there's so much trauma, so much pain and suffering. We want to make sure that we're providing the level of support so that they can be happy and feel good about who they are as individuals, but also healthy. You know, having the mental health and the capacity to be able to continue to pursue and overcome the challenges that are ahead of them so that they can chase their dreams. The other thing, we want to make sure that they're academically ready for whatever is after graduation, whether that's 4-year college, whether it's 2 years, but that they've had a strong enough academic rigorous program that they can choose to do whatever it is that they want to do, that they have the financial resources, meaning scholarship dollars, that's mm-hmm. going to support them so that they don't find themselves, as has been the case, where they have a 3.5 GPA but don't have the financial resources to continue going on to some of these prestigious colleges. And then finally, we want to make sure that they have an assortment of options, right? I want our kids to graduate and say, I can go to a 4-year university, or I can go to a 2-year university, or I can go into a trades program. Mm. I have the option to do all of those, and I'm going to choose the one that's best for me and in my family situation.
Nice. Well, what about the future then for Milwaukee Academy of Science specifically? What does the future look like for the school?
Yeah. Well, I touched on it with my last question about the trades program. So I oftentimes get asked the question, what keeps me up at night? And my answer is the opportunities that we're creating with our workforce development program. What we're hoping to do is to create maybe 6 to 8 pipelines where our kids are not only exposed and get experiences in certain careers, but also that through this pipeline, they're able to get into those careers faster than they traditionally would and with less financial resources required. And the reason why we're approaching it that way is because some of our kids, because of their financial situation, can't wait 4 years or 2 years or even 6 months to become self-sufficient. Some of them need to become self-sufficient adults right away. And so we want to create some pipelines and opportunities for them to do that. And the same is true for the four-year kid. What can we do to make sure that we are pulling in as many dual credit courses and internships and things of that nature so that they can graduate ready for their chosen careers, even if they do choose to go to four-year universities. I also have to say, Jill, that I'm excited to announce that we are opening a second campus.
Oh,
MAS is Milwaukee Academy of Science. The past 2 years have had over 2,000 applications for enrollment into our school. And unfortunately, over 1,600 of those children sat on a wait list. And so there's tremendous demand for our school. And so we're creating a second campus that will be K-4 through fifth grade in its first year, and will eventually grow through K-4 through eighth grade. And then those young people, when they graduate from eighth grade, will come over to our high school at our current campus. So we're really excited about the opportunity to go from serving 1,400 students to 2,000 students.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And if that's not a POP, I don't have proof of performance right there. Just the need, the demand, that's wonderful. You're able to fill that demand, right, that need. What would you say is the most important way that our community can support the work that you continue to do?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things, and I'll start with the easy ones. I mentioned earlier on that the state of Wisconsin has chosen to fund charter schools at a much lower rate than they do traditional schools. So we need financial resources to continue doing what we're doing. We have a very, very expensive model of education. And by that, what I mean is we're spending over $2 million in our citywide school bus transportation. But we have to do that because with 97% of our families living in poverty, they're being forced to move to avoid evictions, sometimes 2-3 times in a given year. Well, we want to make sure that those kids can continue coming to our school, because that's at the core of our success, is being able to retain our students and our teachers. We also are putting a second adult in the elementary classroom so that we can expedite their learning, so that those kids can be prepared for life after high school. And so we need financial resources. So that's the easy one. Come to our gala or come to or support us in any way you like. The other thing that I have to say, and I would say is equally important, is we need to develop partnerships. We're only going to be able to raise so much money. But our children need the support and experiences that kids in the most prestigious schools get. And so our way to provide those is to develop partnerships with the business community, the nonprofit community, who bring a certain level of expertise that we can't as a school, so that we can make sure that our kids and our staff have everything that they need to be successful. And then the last thing I would say is let's change how we're talking about the education profession. Right now, there's far too much rhetoric around the teaching position being a hard position, and it is. There's too much rhetoric around the teaching position not being as rewarding as it should be, and I challenge that. Mm-hmm. I think that there's no greater profession and no greater need in our country right now than strong teachers who care and love our city's children, and so that's what we need to be saying, so that more people want to come into the education space and not less.
Mm. Okay. Well, if someone listening is interested in learning more about Milwaukee Academy of Science, or maybe there's somebody listening that would like to be a teacher or help out in the classroom or support you in some way, where should they go to get more information?
Yeah, we're really active in the social media space, and you could find us under any tag, the tag Milwaukee Academy of Science on all the social media platforms. But also, you can reach us at our school's website, which is MilwaukeeAcademyOfScience.org, MilwaukeeAcademyOfScience.org, and you'll be able to find all the information that you're looking for on that website.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Anthony McHenry, for sharing all the ways that you're making a difference for the young kids in the area of health sciences. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we know that preparing the workforce takes a village, right? MAS collaborates with other organizations in our community that Dr. McHenry was talking about that support their mission. We're going to learn more about one of them that they work with after our commercial break. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Dan Schiller, Executive Director from the I Have a Dream Milwaukee Foundation. Welcome to the show today, Dan.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Jill.
You're welcome. So why does an organization like I Have a Dream Foundation, why do they need to exist? And then how did you get involved?
Yeah. Well, I think organizations like I Have a Dream Foundation need to exist because of the vast educational inequity that exists in our society. And I think young people from historically marginalized communities, young people of color are not getting the same educational experiences, and they're not getting the same enrichment experiences that more privileged kids from the suburbs and other communities are receiving. And so ours is an organization that focuses on making sure that young people and families get what they need to thrive at school, at home, and in the community.
And then how did you get involved?
Yeah.
Why did you get involved?
I've been involved and connected to youth development my entire life. And so I think I carry an energy that's childlike, and connecting with kids has kind of been always a part of my existence. My background is in youth development and service. And so service has just kind of been a foregone conclusion, and just where that energy gets directed has been the choice. And so, I think being able to provide and support young people in reaching their fullest potential, that's my purpose. And that's where I've put all of my time and energy over the years. This is an opportunity to bridge relationships and connections, and to bring resources to young people and to families that exist. And I've had this great opportunity to work with a variety of different incredible organizations all over the city of Milwaukee. This is an organization that leverages that to be able to connect families and connect kids to the things that they need. So that's my drive.
Well, they'd say to serve where your talents lie. So, I mean, that sounds like that's what you're doing. What would you say our kids need to really thrive in today's society?
Yeah, I mean, I think, our kids need champions, first and foremost. They need people to care about them. They need people to invest in them and to believe in them. I think that parents, community members, really to invest and to understand that the value that young people bring and the potential that young people have, and to see that endless and infinite potential, and to be willing to invest in it. So time, energy, resource. I think that first and foremost, they need options and opportunities, not just the doors to be open, but folks to champion and advocate for them to be able to walk through those doors. And so I think getting to do things, having access to the things that help showcase their strengths and give them the chance to develop and expand on those strengths is really important. High quality education and educational experiences. I think that that's at the very top of the list, as well as being able to engage in a learning environment that is stimulating and supports their needs holistically, not just the academic rigor, but also kind of their social and emotional needs and provides opportunities for them to try things and to be successful and to fail forward and mm-hmm. to embrace them and to support them when they do that.
That's a good book, by the way, Failing Forward.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that you use the word invest, because I think that's really what it is. You know, there's an ROI, right, on investing in a child from the get-go, mentoring them, walking alongside them, walking through the doors, as you say, or walking with them through the door. I think the word invest is an important way to show that. What is unique about the approach at I Have a Dream?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mentioned individualized and holistic support. So we are working to make sure that our young people are getting what they need to thrive at home, at school, and in the community. And we're doing that long term. And so we're connecting meaningfully with a cohort of students. So this is not thousands and thousands of kids. We are working with a defined cohort of students, and we're meeting them where they're at. It's not a blanket approach. It's an individualized approach. We're getting to learn about who they are, what they bring, what their strengths are, what their needs are, and also what their family's strengths, needs, and resource needs are. And we're working to help them make the connections that they need to thrive. And so some of the work that we do is focused specifically on the family. You know, that set two generational approach we believe is really important to setting a young person up for success. And then I mentioned we're a bridge organization. And so we leverage relationships and partnerships to bring resources to the table and to connect our young people to programs and opportunities that exist across the community, in addition to providing some of our own programming that we know to be essential.
In terms of innovation, you know, you're talking about some of these unique ways that your organization, the approach that you have. What about innovation? You know, how is what you're doing innovative?
Yeah, I mean, I think being willing to put the time and the energy into understanding who our kids are, being willing to make meaningful connection with parents and caregivers and understand without judgment where they are, it's intensive. It's resource intensive, it's labor intensive. It's something that I think a lot of organizations are not doing. There are a lot of like very high quality programs that are offered that are a blanket approach, and that's not our approach. Mm-hmm. We are really learning about what our young people need, and we're helping open doors and opportunities for them to get that. And so the other piece of innovation, and I think where we're a disruptor, is we are really building and leveraging relationships with strong organizations and individuals across the community who are willing to open doors and to be champions mm-hmm. for our young people. And we're doing that long term. And so this is not just, you know, we're doing this for a year. We are connected from first grade until first job after post-secondary education, and we stay connected to these young people throughout their development. We learn and grow with them. And that, I think, is really important. The other piece of innovation is that we're not choosing to work with only high-performing college-bound kids. We're working with an entire cohort of students and viewing them all to be potentially college-bound students or post-secondary-bound students, and providing them with the things that they need so that they get there. Mm-hmm. And that's our job, and that's our charge, is to make sure that they get the opportunity to pursue whatever post-secondary education they want, but that they have that choice and that option. And so we are not just targeting our highest performing students who have the most stable home lives. We're working with a whole cohort of students, 98 kids right now, from an entire second grade class, and there's no prerequisite for participation that is required aside from those families saying, "Yeah, we're interested."
Mm. And you're providing that long term investment mm-hmm. that you talked about before. You said that I Have a Dream Foundation is a bridge organization. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned it a couple of times. I think we are really good at building and leveraging relationships. And we are small and nimble, and that gives us the opportunity to build connections, to pivot where we need to pivot. And then because of our relationship with the families, and because of our relationship with our students, and because of our relationship with our school partners, we have trust. And we can build that bridge across the gap, and we can also support our kids and our families in getting across that bridge, right? It's not just saying, mm-hmm. hey, there's the resource over there, go get it. It's mm-hmm. saying, hey, there's the resource over there. It's pretty tough to get. And this bridge, even though it's connecting across this gap, it's still a tough thing to cross. And so let's cross it together. Let's make sure that you get across and get access to the resource and continue to benefit from it.
Okay. So Dan, why might a school partner with an organization like I Have a Dream Foundation?
Yeah. Schools are being asked to do more and more and more, and have been over the years. I think societally, our families have become more isolated. We don't necessarily have neighborhood schools that folks rally around. And so the responsibility of social services and social supports are falling on the shoulders of school communities. And schools are resource strapped. And they're doing everything that they can. And even the strongest schools are putting resources and investing resources into supporting families and into supporting young people beyond the academics. But schools, communities can only do so much. And we as an organization can be a catalyst, and we can be nimble in ways that a large school community cannot be. Additionally, there are things that we can pilot and try at a small scale, and we can assess in a way that a school community may not be able to, and then we can share the results of that intervention for scaling, right? And so if something is effective and we found it to be effective, we can iterate, we can test, and we can give opportunity in ways that a school community might not be able to do because we have the resource intensity and investment there.
Okay, well, do you think there are any barriers then to effective partnering between nonprofit organizations? And if so, how are you overcoming those?
Yeah, I mean, I think across the nonprofit sector, there are barriers to collaboration. And I think there's a lot of competition. There's a scarcity mindset often in the nonprofit world. And there's some real to that. There's not a ton of resource that is always available. And I think the barriers to that are, we're not going to come to the table unless the resources are here. And I think to bridge that or to get through that, I think finding values and mission-aligned organizations to partner with first, and identifying kind of where the intersection of that Venn diagram is, where you can really focus your time and energy to be effective, is important. And being creative and iterative in the work that you're doing. But I think finding a mission-aligned and values-aligned partner that believes in the things that you believe in and has a vision for, you know, in our case, for young people, that is aligned with our vision for young people is the most important thing, and then pursue the resources.
Okay. Well, I mentioned POP, or proof of performance, when I was talking with Dr. Anthony McHenry from Milwaukee Academy of Science. Sometimes the best way to communicate that is through stories of impact. Mm. So we'll hear about one from Dan right after our commercial break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I am finishing up our interview today with Dan Schiller, Executive Director from the I Have a Dream Milwaukee Foundation. So, oftentimes, guests will share stories of impact to give us an idea of, you know, is it working? Mm. So, first of all, what are you hoping to see in terms of impact on youth and families?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at the ABCs first. So, attendance, are young people getting to school at a, you know, more significant percentage than their like peers? behavior. So how, when they come to school, are they in the right space to be able to engage in school and at home? And so beyond that, are they you know, what does that behavior look, pro-social behavior look like at home? C is coursework. So how are they doing academically? And are they in a position to be successful? Are they showing up, able to connect and to perform in the way that they need to be able to so that they thrive in that space? For families, we're looking at, you know, well-being. And so we're working kind of with a health committee and a family stability committee. So these are experts from outside of our organization, but local experts who are helping us to support our families in their health and well-being and in their home stability. And, you know, and our focus there has really centered on making sure that housing is stable and that our families have safe, safe places to reside, safe spaces for our young people to lay their heads down at night, where their needs are met, that they feel good about coming home to.
And then, okay, so we see that it's working. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly. What does success look like for I have a Dream Foundation in, let's say, 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, 5 years, you know, our young people are rising third graders. So in 5 years, they'll be rising eighth graders. So they'll be finishing middle school. I think we'll have retained all of our young people, and they will be, you know, I'll mention those ABCs again, that they're, you know, they're attending school at a percentage that is high, significantly high in comparison to like peers. They're doing well behaviorally. They're doing well academically. I think we would like to see reports of kind of holistic well-being from our families that are saying, hey, the things that you're doing and have done to support us over the last 5 years are having an impact on how we function and exist as a family. We trust and are connected to you. We're trust and are connected to each other. So that family connection is really important for us. I'd like us to be in a place where we have, we've tried and tested some things that we feel good about sharing out for scaling and for other school communities and the school community we're partnered with to be able to utilize those best practices with other groups of students. And at that point, we'll be looking at post-secondary education, starting to look at post-secondary education for our students. And so we're in a place where we have some really great partnerships that are deep and can provide career exposure and mentorship so that our young people, when they get to the point of graduating high school, they'll be in eighth grade at that point, that they have ideas and options open and available to them.
Mm. So we may want to have you back so we can revisit that POP when those kids are in eighth grade and then again after they graduate from high school, right? And I think it's fun to watch, you know, how that goes along. So what do you need to be as effective as you can be?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we need champions. We need people who are willing to, as you said earlier, invest in our young people, who believe in our young people, who believe in the value and the worth of our young people and Milwaukee's young people, who are willing to invest their time, their energy, their resources in this group of kids, and who are willing to go all in with these young people. I think that's, you know, first and that's foremost. There's mentoring opportunities. So if people are willing to give time and energy, we want to, you know, we have non-academic mentoring, we have academic mentoring and tutoring. We need people who are willing to show our young people that they believe in them and that they are invested in them. So I think that, and then, you know, financial resources and contributions as we build a scholarship, you know, build on our existing scholarship fund. We have an established fund for our young people. So when they leave high school, they have some post-secondary dollars. We want to keep building on that and providing opportunities for our young people to engage in the things that support their success now.
Okay. So if you're listening and you're a retired teacher, perhaps, and you want to volunteer your time, or you have a heart for kids, or maybe you are working for an organization that supports donations like EIG does, there's a number of ways that you could get involved with I Have a Dream Foundation. What is the best way for people to contact or to reach out?
Yeah, I think you can Google I Have a Dream Foundation Milwaukee or go to milwaukee.ihdf.org. That's the best way to connect with us. There's an info@milwaukee.ihdf.org email address you can connect with as well. But just Google I Have a Dream Foundation Milwaukee and that'll
and
get you there.
That's the best way to find you. Okay, wonderful. So I'm curious, guys, can you kind of sum up why you think this partnership has worked so well?
Well, I can speak for Milwaukee Academy of Science. We are very proud of the work that we're doing as a school. I oftentimes say that we're a school that's attempted to be a high-quality educational institution that serves like a social service organization. And despite our best efforts in doing tremendous work, I believe we're the hardest working school. We provide probably more resources than most, if not all, in terms of how we support our kids and families. There's still a significant gap between what our kids need, what our families need, that we simply can't do. And so this is an ideal partnership because the way that they're approaching supporting kids and families is really kids and family centered and supporting them in their interests and needs and allowing our kids to have even more support, even more direction, guidance, and even more champions to help them become what it is that they're aspiring to become. So this is an ideal partnership for Milwaukee Academy of Science, and I look forward to being able to show not only our community, but the world what can happen when you provide these children with this type of support over this many years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this partnership is not just a top-down partnership, and I appreciate Anthony so much for his enthusiasm in embarking on this relationship. But this is one that the school community has bought into, and we've got a really good open line of dialogue with our teachers, with our school social worker, with the partnerships and the strategy folks at Milwaukee Academy of Science and the rest of the leadership, including the principal and CEO and chief strategic officer. And so I think the relationship there and the belief in the power of the individualized support and a recognition of limitations, like schools' limitations, and saying, you know, here's what we can do. Here's what we believe our students need. Can you dig in on that and allowing us the autonomy to do that, but also providing, supporting us by letting us leverage the relationship that the school has with students and with families to quickly build trust has been a really important component of that. So I think it's worked really well, and I believe it's going to continue to work well throughout the life cycle of our young people at the school community.
Wonderful. Well, I will say congratulations to both of you for being an example of how collaboration works at its best. I want to thank my guests today, Dan Schiller, Executive Director from the I Have a Dream Foundation, and Dr. Anthony McHenry from the Milwaukee Academy of Science. I appreciate you both sharing how you're making a difference in the lives of the youth in our community. Thanks for sharing all the ways that you guys do that. Thank you. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Milwaukee Academy of Science or I Have a Dream Foundation, and they can get you connected. If you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email me and send me their contact information at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. And if you want to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference and contributing to making our community thrive in any number of ways, you can tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to hear all about them on Milwaukee's philanthropic community. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, or you can listen on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. And if you can't tune in on Sunday mornings, I encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com, where you can listen to previously aired shows, or you can also listen on demand. As we close up the show today, I have a call to action for our listeners, and that is to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community, from the old to the young and every place in between. We're not called to do everything, but everybody can do something, big or small, whether that's donating, volunteering, or advocating for an organization that you're passionate about. I'm sure anything you do will be appreciated by many. So find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.